All right, everyone, while the next speaker is setting up his screen, we will be talking about building composable IoT toolsets with Docker, Node-RED, and OpenOCD.
So, I don't have any slides, and I'll try to keep some time at the end for questions, because this is mostly about ideas I've been toying around and things I've been using over the past few years, and I'm starting to see that other people share my views on how tool sets should be built and shared. And just to give you a little bit of background, I started working on this 2-3 years ago after discussing with Zobs and Bunny, who you may know from the Novena project. And the first thing was Zobs said something interesting on stage, which was, in some cases, if you need someone to take a look at something, just set up a Raspberry Pi just right so you have everything you want to show on it and ship it to them. And I thought it was actually a nice idea. Raspberry Pis are cheap. If you want someone to take a look at your IoT project and help you debug it, just set up the debug where you're stuck and ship it to them. But snail mail is what it is, and just shipping parts of what's on the Raspberry Pi might actually be enough. And so in IoT, obviously, on the server side, you probably use Docker a lot. I don't know if you do, but not so much on the embedded side. And I at least still need tools like the Bus Pirate. I'm just throwing that one out there. I know it's outdated and there's a new one coming out, but kind of general purpose Swiss Army knife tools that you can use when you're in kind of any situation, if you want to interact with a sensor, an actuator, debug a bus, things like that. And so I realized that in my projects, I was doing the same setup work a lot for things like OpenOCD, for other programs. By the way, I lied on in the title, there will be no OpenOCD today, but I can talk about it a little bit at the end. But interacting with the bus, et cetera, setting up your Pi just right is sometimes a hassle. And so I started packaging things in Docker images because now Docker works fine on ARM. And so my kind of replacement, maybe it's better if I show it like this. My kind of replacement for the Bus Pirate is just a Raspberry Pi Zero and the right setup on it. It honestly gets 80% of the job done, and it's very cheap, very easy to use, and very well supported. So actually everything I'm going to show on the screen today is running on the Pi. I could have used any laptop here. So it's set up so that it when it starts up, it opens an access point, and also an API to connect through WES supplicant to any other access point out there, so you can bridge to another network. But the nice thing about this is it's electrically isolated. I just communicated with this through Wi-Fi. If for some reason I fry it, I've fried like 15, 20 euros of gear and not the USB port on my $2,000 laptop. So, and the idea is, so how could I make this more shareable, more reusable? And my answer was by using Docker, because that's what I do when I'm in the cloud, so why not do it here? And so I've got a bunch of things running here. I'm just going to refresh the page. And the first tool that I put on top of that, strange enough, is a tool called Node-RED. Who here has used or heard of Node-RED before? About half, maybe a bit less. So it looks like a toy project. It's a graphical interface. Yeah, maybe I should. It's a way of putting together little programs that can interact, like setting up an API, playing with a GPIO, et cetera. And it's all done in Flow. So flows are read from left to right, sorry. And you usually start here, then at the end of the flow, something happens. And it can be like something like toggling a GPIO that I can do here. So if I click on this one, you can see the little one here. And it means that another pin just was toggled high. And it's because I've got to the white wire that you see here, sorry, is a loopback between the two pins. And so when I toggle one high, the other one gets detected. There are tons of things like that you can do in Node-Redis. Usually just either configuring a node. So in this case, for example, this is the way you look at a GPIO output. And the node itself gives you a nice pinout, and you can just select it, say whether you want it pulled up or down, etc. and you have ways of building either APIs or small UIs. So there is a plugin or an extension for Node-RED called Node Dashboard. I think it's enabled by default. And what it does is when you compose little nodes like that, you don't have to look at it in detail. It's pretty straightforward to understand if you spend like an hour or two on it. But when you add those nodes, what you get at the end is, for example, something like this, which is a little UI that I can use to toggle my GPIO up or down. So earlier I set the thing to high, so I can see here that it is. Now I can pull it low, etc. If I pull it high and I disconnect my little wire, it should go down and back up when I connect it again. So it's like you have a poor man's continuity tester, I guess. But you can do other things, like through the I2T bus that's available on the Pi, you can talk to a little OLED screen, for example, if it's wired correctly. And so I'm going to... So right now, the screen is off, I guess. And if I do something like this... Oops. You can see that there is a little rectangle that appears. So there is a little bit of JavaScript that you can use... to do that, there was a library that I found that I packaged in the Node-RED image that I'm using. So what I'm basically using is Node-RED with a bunch of things that I need and configured for my needs. And it gives me, for example, the same thing as before. I can also have a REST API to do the same things that I showed with the UI. So here, if I just put one, I'll toggle it up again, and you can see here that it has changed. So this, I didn't want to do it live because it's a little bit too long for a 30-minute talk, but this is really super easy to set up. And once you've got all these nodes, what it persists as is essentially one file called flows.json that you can reuse, modify, version, whatever. and so it's fairly easy to... If you have a test setup, for example, what happens in IoT, if you're multitasking, you might be on the embedded side for a while, and then for 2 weeks, you're waiting on something else, like, for example, a new revision of the board to arrive, and then so you switch to the APIs and the cloud stuff, and when you come back 2-3 weeks later, well, sometimes it's not set up exactly as you wanted, et cetera, or you have to change the Pi and reinstall it for some reason. And it's really easy if you've got everything packaged as Docker images. So the Docker Hub is nice for hosting them, but you can host them on whatever repository you want. So what I'm showing here is my whole setup here is in a Docker Compose file. Who knows what Docker Compose is? For those of you who don't know, Compose is a way to declaratively set up a stack. So if you have multiple containers that need to interact, that need to use each other's file systems or use the host file system, you can declare that in a file that looks like, I can actually show you, I've got it here somewhere. I hope. Yes. So the compose file here is something that looks like this, for example. And this, by the way, is also running on as a web interface on the Pi itself. But so I've got multiple things. So my Wi-Fi stack, for example, I containerize the WA supplicant, et cetera, setup so that I can reuse it and I don't have to do it on bare metal beforehand. I have, for example, Portainer is this UI. It's a UI that allows you to essentially have a nice Docker UI and manage your things. I've got the Node-RED image that is my image that's on the Docker Hub plus... well, a bunch of mounts that I need to make the demo work, et cetera, et cetera. And you can run notebooks, for example. The same thing I showed you before with the REST API here in this case, for example, if I want to toggle it high and then check here that it is, toggle it low and then check again, it works. And again, it's everything works nicely together. So you can have components exposing either files or sockets and communicate quite nicely. I mean, exactly the same way you would do on your VM or cloud server. I don't know if I've got much more to show. Yeah, no, that's about it. I mean, there is also the Wi-Fi, for example, container that I showed you before. I suppose there's a small API that allows you to scan, for example, available SSIDs, and there is a post endpoint that you can use to join one of them. So you just give the SSID and the passphrase, and it will connect. So I can literally just turn this on, put it on the table. It doesn't have to be right next to the laptop. It's close to whatever I'm testing or debugging. And I can share that because all the images are on the Docker Hub, and it's a lot easier for somebody else to make this work. So just two other takeaways. When working on this, you don't want to be building those images on your device. I use a PiZero. It's a really slow, it has 512 megs of RAM. It's a slow-ish, no, it's 700 megahertz, but single core. If you're compiling something like OpenOCD, for example, you don't want to do this on your Pi. You're going to spend the whole day on it. But there is a nice project now called QEMU User Static that provides an image that if you run it once, it will tell Docker essentially, from now on, if you're building on something that's not x86, go through QEMU User Static, and you can compile pretty much everything you want. The only one I had to build on the Pi itself, for some reason I can't, the builded segfault was the Wi-Fi one, but it's a small Go image, and it's pretty easy to build. The images themselves can be super small. I'm just going to show you. Some of them are bigger. In my case, I'm going to sort them. But you can see, like, some images you'll get away with useful stuff for just a few megs. For example, this one, I may have just the time to show you, is a way to for example, flash microcontrollers. So I'll do this if you want at the end. I want to leave some time for questions. But for example, this is called an LPC810. It's a small DIP ARM microcontroller by NXP, and it has a bootloader that supports flashing over UART. And for example, this little image here has just the binary you need to do that. So it's super easy to put a blinky on your on your micro, etc. So I want to leave it here and open it up for questions. If there are no questions, I can flash the thing. But does anybody think this is a good idea? Would you find some use to it? Or am I missing something? It's old stuff, I realize, but it now works really well. Because of QEMU User Static, better ARM support in Docker, and the fact that, for example, the Hypriot guys provide an image that's an alternative to Raspbian that has Docker well configured out of the box and will happily work on your Pi, because you have to enable C groups, etc., for it to work. So sometimes stock Raspbian doesn't work, but there are images out there that make this super easy.
All right, thank you. We have 2 minutes left for questions. One here.
Is it easy to do toggling the GPIO via curl, for example?
That's exactly what I did here. When I do this, this is essentially the curl you want to toggle it high or low. At the value one, and you can decide how to structure your API. I just used a really, really simple API here, but the way it's defined is in your endpoint here. You can say that it's going to be a post method, that's the URL relative to your root endpoint. You can configure things like various parameters, etc. And the way these parameters have to be exposed by Swagger as well. So it automatically builds a Swagger definition file for you. And so Swagger UI, for example, is deployed. I don't have to do anything for this to work. If I add an endpoint now and I refresh this page, it will be added there.
All right, more questions? We can take one more. Okay, thank you.